Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey, connecting the light. After having had a couple of weeks of quite a lot of material, this week I'm certainly not going to run out, but there is a lot less, certainly, on the general news side, which surprises me. And there are no special messages, that is, such as Matthew's or Archangel Michael's, who I like to leave out. But there is the usual one, which, of course, comes through Sheldon Nigel, which I always start the program with. But without further ado, I will read this week's message, which, of course, comes on behalf of the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. It reads, "We return with more to tell you. Your world continues to move steadily towards its goal of manifesting the new reality, and the Dark is using all the delaying tactics at its disposal to counter this agenda. Watching this struggle unfold gives one a true appreciation of the effort put forth by both sides. However, the diligence of the Dark is being met strongly this time by the newfound power of our Earth allies, and so we fully expect the final aspect of this covert war to be over very shortly. The Dark still remains a potent punch, and yet its strategies, while tried and true, are not working as they have in the past. Hence, it is rather quickly running out of time. We can already see its defeat and the rise of a new temporary regime in America. These prospects are most heartening and promise that the new era, long decreed by heaven, is getting closer by the day. In short, we can see that the timetable we envisaged months ago is to be realized as intended. Heaven decrees that these Dark Ones are not allowed this time to find a way to wriggle out of their mounting predicament. The light energy pouring into this realm continues to rise every day, making the work of the Dark Ones that much harder and more taxing on their remaining resources. We observe many of their leaders' meetings and can see the high levels of challenge that they now face. In many ways, the current situation resembles that of Napoleon's Waterloo or the last days of the Soviet Union. The coming reversal of fortune is to be sudden and unexpected for those in charge. History once again repeats itself as the downfall of the formerly high and mighty abruptly changes the look of your world. But this time, the opportunity for changes will not be wasted as it has been in the past. Instead, the grand designs long proposed by our Earth allies are in place and can now be completely fulfilled. This scenario can swiftly lead your world to a state of preparedness for first contact. As for ourselves, we are devoting much time to Mother Earth's Elohim to ensure that nothing major happens that might catastrophically disrupt your world. While there will be a few natural disasters of the sort already familiar to you, we are determined to see that the gains being made by our Earth allies are not seriously intruded upon by any significantly larger natural or man-made disturbance. This is our gift to you and our Earth allies. We noticed in the recent past how the Dark Ones maliciously used certain esoteric technologies to regain lost footholds, and our aim is to help you realize a goal long promised you by the light. The present course holds high promise, and we do not intend to let this current itinerary or change slip away from you again. Once this proposed lineup of events takes place, the rest of our plans can begin to come in line. Most important remaining matter is to definitely loosen the grip of the Dark on your reality. Thereupon your world can be assured that first contact can indeed happen as planned. For us, first contact is the jewel in the crown for humanity. It means not only that your long road to first contact has been travelled successfully, it is also the sign that your final step to full consciousness is at hand. The last few years have seen a number of our concepts about your world modified and, in many cases, much rearranged. We know that we are on the right track and that what is now underway can indeed succeed. The remaining part of this season holds the promise that what is now being done can finally reach its promised goal. Then a new caretaker American government can publicly broadcast the first series of announcements. These will proclaim the rebirth of America's liberties and signal that a great redistribution of wealth is well underway. Also, a large number of sequestered technologies can be returned to the world, and the current energy and pollution crises resolved. These things are merely the start of an operation that gives you the grand responsibility to remake your world. We are reminding you here of something you already know full well. Mother Earth is in dire need of your assistance. Around you is a global ecosystem that is undergoing a high rate of extinction. Entire species are vanishing. Many types of plants and animals are losing their habitat and their battle to survive. This struggle intensifies each day. Accordingly, your duties also grow each day. This eco-trauma mirrors the degree of destruction that your global society is undergoing. All around you, your society is facing grim and growing challenges to its existence. Such times demand solutions that are commensurate with the problem, and therefore, as our Earth allies, hatch plans worthy of this challenge. They have taken on nothing less than the reformation of your global society, and to this end, are furnishing the means for it not just to survive, but also to become something much greater. This something much greater involves us. The next phase of your evolution as a people is to regain your lost levels of consciousness, and thus move beyond survival mode and being mere planet-based creatures. This phase involves becoming galactic human. These are fully conscious beings who comprehend the flow of the divine plan. They understand that each living thing plays a unique role in carrying out the Creator's will in physicality. This wisdom will inspire you to become true divine caretakers of Mother Earth, your solar system in every corner of this galaxy. It is this coming growth of awareness and your innate potential that has brought us here. The first decade of the 21st century is to be remembered as the moment when you transformed yourselves and your reality and stepped out towards the stars and full consciousness. This approaching watershed is one of the most vital waypoints on the path of your coming renewal. Returning to full consciousness is a complex procedure and requires suitable mentor. We have been chosen by the divine for this role. What we had not anticipated was the huge exchange of wisdom that has taken place between you and us. Now the time, it's us to use this knowledge to work together to achieve our immediate objective. We do not doubt our victory. This world is in dire need of complete transformation from the ground up. And the first step in our Earth Allies plans is a start. We intend to help this come about and then to guide you through each sequential step, leading us all, of course, to first contact. First contact is a given. We have everything planned down to the last detail. This is a sacred task and one that, in this case, is highly complex. Each upcoming event has been reviewed again and again. A myriad skilled first contact officers and innumerable liaison teams have thought over the plan for any potential hiccups, using our highly efficacious fluid group management technique to resolve any hitches. Our patience and expertise are fully equal to this project, and we are confident that what is now set in motion can only have a successful outcome. On the strength of this, we are setting up the liaison system to be used after the US regime finally gives up the ghost. This moment is getting near, and so the excitement within us mounts. Remember, together we are indeed victorious. Message ends. Today we reviewed what is happening for the world. We wish to emphasise that the moment of kick-off approaches, but for obvious security reasons, we must maintain complete discretion regarding the exact timing. We leave you now with the reassurance that all is in complete readiness for the next stage. So, as usual, very encouraging message to Sheldon Neidl. And one cannot help but feel that the event that is going to kick off everything that we've been promised cannot be too far away. Now, my general news, I have a couple of items, plus some comment I want to add myself. But I think I must first refer to the new act that has been, if I said issued, apparently put on the book, so to say, by George Bush, which appears to be one which he has sent to Congress, and it's regarding International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Now, the whole thing is a load of legal talk, but I just ran off the first part, which reads, by the authority invested in me as President of by the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, including the International Emergency Economic Powers, as amended, etc., etc., the National Emergencies Act, etc., etc., and Section 301 of Title III United States Code. He then goes on to list many laws which effectively make it almost impossible for any person to object what George Bush is doing, run any groups to demonstrate under the penalty of imprisonment and even to the extent of having your possessions and your house taken away from you. Now, it's actually causing a lot of consternation, and one has to hope that this might be the last straw for the people of America, who will react more strongly to get George Bush and his administration removed. But there is one point of hope, that one of the emails I saw commenting on this said that it hasn't actually been passed by Congress yet. But I think some people are reading it as a law already, which of course is wrong. So let's hope that when this is presented to the Congress, in spite of the Democrats apparently allowing George Bush to have his way so far, maybe this will be one step too far. And could it, in that case, perhaps cause George Bush to resign? I mean, would that man ever resign over anything? It seems very unlikely. That there must come a point, one would feel, where surely the power of the Congress could remove the president. Anyway, this is an interesting development, which we'll have to wait and see what happens there. The only other item I've got on general news is relating again to Cindy Sheehan, who, as you will know by now, I'm sure, has come back into the arena, and published on Sunday the 8th of July in the Associated Press was an article saying that Cindy Sheehan plans to run against Pelosi unless the Bush impeachment sought by Angela K. Brown Crawford of Texas goes ahead. You may recall Cindy Sheehan is the mother of a fallen soldier who of recent galvanized the anti-war movement. She then withdrew because she was so disappointed, I think, with the results. And she said recently that she plans to run against House Speaker Nancy Pelosi unless she moves to oust President Bush in the next 2 weeks. Well, on the date that she this article was published, July the 8th, obviously that means that time limit that she's referring to will soon be met. But it will be interesting to see what happens after that. From what I've read, I can't imagine Pelosi will make any moves to oust President Bush, and it's going to take a pretty brave person, I think, to try and start that movement. So there we are. She's giving President Bush up until July the 23rd, and apparently that's when she and her supporters are to arrive in Washington, D.C., after a 13-day caravan and walking tour starting from the group's war protest site near Bush's Crawford Ranch. Now, she's a very brave woman. I'm sure she's getting a lot of support from both, shall we say, our side of the realm, but from the realm above. Very brave lady indeed. Now, only having a few items there, no other special one, has given me an opportunity to refer to the big news this week. That was the event that took place on Tuesday, which was set up by Shelley Yates, called Fire the Grid, bringing down energies for the healing and upliftment of the earth. And what I'd like to read you is a message that came through myself on the day after, which was the Wednesday, but I think it's worth reading, so that amongst the other ones you may have read, you can hear what Diane channeled through me. Diane is a Syrian, like most of my channels, bar two. One is the Venusian and the other one is Saint Germain. Now, Diane said on Wednesday, and I read, "A resounding thank you goes out to all those who were able to set aside time to participate in Fire the Grid. I must tell you that where some of you were unable to join in at a given time, you should know that your energy has become part of the great healing and awakening that took place. Your response was magnificent and inspired, and a wonderful energy of joy and love permeated the grid. The result was astounding as thousands upon thousands all across the world answered the call, but that was not totally unexpected. We had already perceived that mankind had reached a new plateau of understanding and was ready to establish a higher energy upon Earth. Be assured that your faith has not been misplaced and that you have taken part in a mammoth event that has quickened the events that will lead to the end time. Each time the vibrations of Earth are uplifted, the higher beings are able to come closer to you, whether as a whole or individually. You are merging in a way that will eventually allow a great coming together, which will signal your readiness and take the final step to ascension. Many of you felt the power of the energy being sent out, and when you withdrew, found a new calmness and a happiness had descended upon you. That calmness and feeling of completion will stay with you, and what you started will now continue to grow, as it has what you call the knock-on effect. Think for a moment of the impact your holy teachers have had upon you, and how to be in their presence brought about a similar experience. As you go about your daily business, so you too will carry a like energy with you. Your light is your announcement to the world that you are at one with God. You're bringing peace to the earth, and soon it will silence the sound of war. The dark fear your energy and resort to their only weapon against you, which is fear. However, with your newfound level of light, you can easily ward that off and help lessen its impact. You are the warriors that bear no arms, but simply carry the light that is impenetrable by the lower energy. It is your shield that deflects them and sends them back to their perpetrators. From here on, you can continue to help the light to grow by repeating the exercise of bringing light to the earth that has been such a great success. You are a step nearer to becoming the enlightened being that will have a major part to play very soon. There will be much to do once the important changes have taken you into a new phase of evolution. Light workers will help others onto the path of light, and who could be better to do it than one who has travelled far down it? We of the Galactic Federation will of course be assisting you in many ways, and we shall be as a team working very closely together. You are the unsung heroes of what is taking place on Earth, but that is how the light works. It has no need to trumpet its achievements and works away quietly but efficiently. Your purpose is to shine out your light, and you are doing it magnificently in an effortless way of being your true self. There is nothing more natural to you as you establish the new reality that is uplifting the whole earth. People will gravitate towards you. because it offers what they have been seeking. It is the recognition of the higher purpose of life, one that has lain dormant for so long and is surfacing from deep within their subconsciousness. It is the blossoming of the real self that has been submerged in duality for eons of time. The more you awaken, the more you will look back and see how the lower vibrations have played havoc with you. You have passed through times of complete confusion and have reflected the dark intentions of those who would keep you in such a condition. However, the challenge of finding your true self has been met, and never again will you be called upon to go through the cycle of duality. From here on, it will be light all the way, and it only needs your focus and attention to manifest your goal. The memories of the hurt and pain that still reside within your consciousness will move far into the background if you draw more and more light to you. And you should forgive yourself and others who have been involved. Forgiveness and compassion are essential as you clean out your memories from the cupboard where the cobwebs and darkness have lain, find a memorial. There are feelings and reactions that have been born out of experience that will have no place in the light that you are now becoming. We know that some of you feel a loss of identity when you release the old, but do not mourn the loss of what no longer serves you. Replace those feelings that belong to man of old with ones that reflect your desire to move to a higher level of being. We have a saying that old habits die hard, and it is never truer than at this time when so much soul searching is going on. You have programmed yourselves to respond in a certain way, which is very much instinctive and is more akin to the times when you fought for your survival. You are now moving with your creation of a new reality, and it will fulfill a higher perception of yourself and your place in the cosmos. You are to become a cosmic being, and your prison earth in the lower dimension will be left behind as you move onward and upward. As ever, your path will be your choice, and there will inevitably be those who feel unprepared for a major shift in their existing reality. They will therefore continue in this dimension until they are ready for the next opportunity to ascend. I am dying and serious and feel much love of humankind. My fantastic souls, who are far greater than you yet understand, but soon we will be with you and help you reclaim your true status in the realms of pure life. I will say, keep up the good work you have now started. It will reward you well. Our love and admiration go out to you for your resilience and determination to succeed. And so in the message from Diane, commenting the day after by the week. And I would say from the number of emails that have passed around following that day, people certainly feel that it was a great success. And I gather that along with the earlier input of energy on 7-7, these two are not the only ones that occur this month. So it was given as an important month earlier on in the year, and we didn't know necessarily at that stage what was going to happen. But it's clearly been a wonderful upliftment. So that's finished that particular message. I'm moving now straight on to my, what I call my UFO and ET section. In the Flying Saucer review that I have, anybody who listens to my program fairly regularly will know that I have a whole batch of them from the 1960s. I have a record here from 1 September-October 1969. And it's not terribly long, but again, it's a very interesting one from those times, as many are. They seem to have been recorded, and I should think 99% of them never seem to surface again. Often makes me think that the way to look into the whole question of UFOs is that you've really got to go back and see the many reports that have appeared from all these individuals. When it's approached from the other end, that is the reaction of the government, it's not the same, because the best reports are very rarely considered. And I'm really puzzled by the fact that the authorities seem to examine, if you like, the more mundane UFO sighting, and it's by and large is very little about contact, whereas in fact many take place. This one is one that is referred to as a physical examination by miniature Martians. Now this was according to a report that was published in a Gazette in July 21st, 1968. It named a Brazilian civil servant named Pedro de Marfilho, and he claimed a meeting with small UFO entities which were described as Martian. Now this contact is in Rio de Janeiro, and he stated at about 11 p.m. on July 17th, 1968, he was at the spot on a highway near a Catholic seminary known as the Educandario Don Bosco, and he heard above his head a humming noise, and the noise increased to great intensity, and suddenly he was blinded by a powerful beam of light and two green men which appeared right beside him. The lights vanished and he now saw a horizontal door which opened, and four entities not much more than 3 foot or so in height emerged. He said the creatures were greenish and were wearing something on their head, like headphones, and they moved quickly towards him. He tried to get away, but found himself held, as though, he said, by a hypnotic force. His limbs felt cold, his muscles felt strange, his head seemed to be spinning, and he said his tongue turned to stone. But throughout of all this, his brain remained active, taking in the whole scene. He heard the little creatures talking to him, which he thought was incredible because they were talking in Portuguese, and he decided that they must be doing it telepathically, inasmuch as he never managed to make out any movement of their mouth, or even the mouth for that matter, in their strangely shaped head. Seizing him by the arms as though he were their booty, they dragged him into their machine, which now silent was standing by. He said the interior of the craft looked like a complicated laboratory. The four creatures then questioned him at length in great detail, inquiring all about human habits and customs, about the physiological functions of his body, about our manner of sexual reproduction, and so forth. And they made him undress, and he let them make a detailed examination of his body. This process included the introduction into his mouth of an extraordinarily luminous fine wire, because it was like a lamp, which made him transparent, as if he were being x-rayed. While two of them were conducting this examination, the other two were busy writing, which he observed and said was in unknown characters, on a sheet of material resembling aluminium. Suddenly it seemed as though they had received orders from some remote control station. The lights flashed, silent lights streaked across the walls, and the examination appeared to be at an end. Hastily taking him outside again, the creatures informed him that after their departure, it would all remain in his mind like a dream. By now he was terrified and dumbfounded, and he stood on the road and watched the craft fly off, followed by a trail of such astonishing luminosity that he would never forget it. That is basically where report ends, but there was a comment at the end of that article saying it should be noted that while the Brazilian newspaper uses the word inhabitant of Mars in its account, the report contains no evidence that the creatures told him whence they came or said that they had anything to do with Mars. My comment on that is, strangely enough, is that these smaller beings of the height he has described generally do appear to be Martian. They clearly can't be the only ones, but they do appear to be the Martian. It's unfortunate that there isn't more information about the description of the being, except that he described them as having peculiar heads. Be that as it may, I think that's a very interesting report, and that wouldn't, I think, to my mind, qualify as an abduction. Although I suppose it's not far removed from the type of what they call abduction, which is associated with the grave, but he appeared to experience no ill effect from the examination that took place, and it doesn't appear to have included any medical probes or similar things. Another short bit of information I'll give about UFOs is one that came out of the Daily Press. Only a short article from someone in the UK who said that their mother died in 1998. And for this family, the local job and undertaker took over all the arrangements, including organising the service and even the after. And when they were at a restaurant afterwards, and he was greeting the mourners and receiving their condolences, an elderly lady came forward and with a sad smile said how she was sorry for me and how my mother would be sadly missed. And she was saying, enjoying the group of the family, chatting away. And shortly afterwards, someone mentioned about strange happenings that were reported during the reign of Charles II. And it was reported as in the newspaper, a sort of question mark, UFOs in Victorian times. Now, apparently the Vicar of Bolton in Lancashire, the Reverend Oliver Hayward, wrote in his diary, on Thursday night, March 2nd, 1664, that some company came to his house and saw a strange flaming northwards, did say light, would have made it explanatory, I guess. He said, we all went out to look at it, and sometimes it was so bright, and on the other hand, we could not see it clearly on the ground, and the light shone in at the windows. And describing his thoughts on the matter, he said, my apprehension was very formidable to behold. The next entry was, it was to see the light again the night after in the west. And there is, he noted, also a strange noise in the air, heard in many parts this winter, and they are called Gabriel Ratchet by country people. Don't quite know what the significance of that expression is. And then he went on to say, there is another noise heard in the air, which here they call night whistlers, which makes a whizzing as if a piece of timber had arrived with violence through the air. I suppose that's like a swishing noise. Not a little short and sweet report, because there are reports of strange happenings that go back a few hundred years. It takes maybe a little bit of research to find these, and one can possibly conclude that we do have genuine UFO sightings at that time. So it's by no means a new phenomena. In fact, and trace it right back to reports in ancient Egypt, in India, and it fits in with what the ETs tell us anyway, that they have been with us for quite a long time. Now, just scanning through my file here about UFO information, and I've got a little bit more here. I might have to edit it somewhat because it's a long report. So as I've got the time, before I move on to general messages of a spiritual nature, which I'm pleased to be able to get in this week, this is a report from a site called, it's called Isaac Carret. So it's the forename Isaac, all one word, with C-A-R-E-T added, isaaccarret.fortunecity.com. And it's an article talking about someone's experience with the Carret program, C-A-R-E-T, and extraterrestrial technology. And I'm trying to pick up where is the convenient place here to start. And they're talking about this appears to be some program that was worked upon to do with ET. And this person is talking about his experience, saying things didn't go smoothly when it comes to matters like access to classified information. He said that the people he worked with were exposing what is probably their single biggest secret to a group of people who had never even been through basic training. It's obvious that the gravity of this decision was never far from their mind. He said, we started the program with a small set of extraterrestrial artifacts, along with fairly elaborate briefings on each, as well as an access to a modest amount of what research had already been completed. And it wasn't long before we realized that we needed more, though, and getting them to provide even the smallest amount of new material was like pulling teeth. Here we are, this BAREP stood for Commercial Applications Research for Extraterrestrial Technology. He said that the place they worked at was located at Palo Alto, and he said it wasn't at the end of a long road in a big complex surrounding by hills and trees. It was in an office complex owned entirely by the military that made it look like an unassuming tech company. And from the street, all you could see was what appeared to be a normal parking lot with a gate and a guard, booth, and a one-story building inside with a fictitious name and logo. He said what wasn't visible from the street was behind the very first set of doors was enough armed guards to invade Poland and five additional underground stories. They wanted to be as close as possible to the kind of people they were looking to hire and to be able to bring them in minimum trust. He goes on to say that what was amusing about his whole time there was the whole affair. Now the whole affair was the way that our military management also tried to act as if the technology were essentially reverse engineering and wasn't extraterrestrial at all. And he said, aside from the word extraterrestrial itself, we rarely heard any other terms like alien or UFO or outer space or anything. Those aspects were only mentioned briefly when absolutely necessary to explain something. In many cases, it was necessary to differentiate between the different races and their respective technology, and they didn't even use the word races. They were referred to simply as different sources. A lot of the technology we worked on was what you would expect, namely anti-gravity. Most of the researchers on the staff, with backgrounds in propulsion and rocketry, were military men. But the technology we were dealing with was so out of this world that it didn't really matter at all much what your background was, because none of it applied. All we could hope to do was to use the vocabulary of our respective fields as a way to model the extremely bizarre new concepts we were very slowly beginning to understand as best as we could. The physicists made the most headway initially because out of all our skills, theirs overlapped the most with the concepts behind this technology. Once they got the ball rolling, though, we began to find that many of the concepts found in computer science were applicable as well, albeit in very vague ways. He said, I didn't do a lot of work with anti-grav hardware myself. I was occasionally involved in the assessment of how that technology was meant to interface with its user. The anti-grav was amazing, of course, as we were handling advances and were making materials, engineering and so on. But what interested me most then, and still amazes me most to this day, was something completely unrelated. In fact, it was this technology that immediately jumped out at me when I saw the Chad and Large Man photos, and even more so in the Big Basin photo. Now, apparently, he goes on to say that I put the word language in quotes because calling what I'm about to describe as a language is a misnomer, although it is an easy mistake to make. Their hardware wasn't operated in quite the same way as ours. In our technology, even today, we have a combination of hardware and software running almost everything on the planet. Software is more abstract than hardware, but ultimately, you need hardware to run it. In other words, there's no way to write a computer program on a piece of paper. Set that piece of paper on the table or something and expect it to actually do something. The most powerful code in the world still doesn't actually do anything until a piece of hardware interprets it and translates its commands into action. Now here comes the point of the part of this article that I've extracted. he talks of their technology being different. And he says, I read, it really did operate like the magical piece of paper sitting on a table, in a manner of speaking. They had something akin to a language that could quite literally execute itself, at least in the presence of a very specific type of field. The language, a term I'm still using very loosely, is a system of symbols, which does admittedly very much resemble a written language, along with geometric forms and patterns that fit together to form diagrams that are themselves functional. Once they are drawn, so to speak, on a suitable surface made of a suitable material, and in the presence of a certain type of field, they immediately begin performing the desired task. It really did seem like magic to us, even after we began to understand the principles behind it. I work with these symbols more than anything during my time at PACL and recognised once I saw them in the photograph. They appear in a very simple form on Chad's graph, but appear in the more complex diagram form on the underside of the base and graph as well. Both are unmistakable, even at the small size of the Big Basin photo. An example of the diagram inside of the Big Basin craft is included with this in a series of scan pages from the Linguistic Analysis Primer. We needed a copy of that diagram to be utterly precise, and it took about a month for a team of six to copy that diagram into our drafting program. Everything I explained, I learned about this technology, would fill up several volumes, but I'm doing my best to explain at least some of the concepts, and I'm taking time to write all of this down. Now, there's a lot more to the report by the number of pages. I just read out an aspect of it that I thought was interesting regarding the type of advanced technology that ETs use. So just to reaffirm that site, website address is Isaac Barrett, B-A-R-E-T, all one word, .fortunecity. Now, having read that, it gives me a chance to come on to a message that I referred to at the close of the program this week. It was one that I briefly described the contents of, and I did promise to come back to it this week. There's a few pages here, but it's such a good article. Goes back to the 13th of October 2005, and it was came out through somebody I call Tickley or Tickley, D-I-K-E-L-E. Haven't seen anything around from her lately. Anyway, it read under the title of Living in Love. Blessing, dear ones, for such indeed you are. We have come this day to speak of what it is to live in love, in unity, in joyousness, in harmony and peace with one another. And the words could continue for a time describing all the wondrous attributes of what it is to be in love. However, what is there for each of you, as we write this, varies for some. It is a place that is well known. For some it is known, but rarely. And for others there is difficulty in understanding precisely what is meant when we speak to you of being in love. Let all the doubts and fears be set aside for a time. Let your mind be held in the energy of acceptance of its beauty. Yet not needed in this moment beyond what there is to interpret these words that you receive now. And the article says, breathe and breathe and breathe again with slowness and be present to the breath now. In your awareness, be your beautiful physical body and honour it for the wonderful work it does for you each day, maintaining a vehicle for your continued existence on this earth plane. For each of you, no matter what you might think of it yourself, it has the most beautiful of physical processes that brings to you the exact nature of experiencing you have desired for yourself to have in that understanding. It is a level of experiencing that you need many trials or difficulties at particular stages of your journey. Honour them too for the wonderful gifts that they bring you. And where you cannot find the gift, look again, it's right there before you. In the new way of relating to others, you might have found the courage to express, or the willingness to let others assist you in some way, or the newfound pride of achievement as you work with your body to a new pattern of thought and a way of processing that which you encounter each day in your experiencing and all. Returning your awareness now to your breathing process, is it easy? Is it a struggle, or just a bit strange, to placing your attention in this way? We know that it is one of the most beautiful processes that can be guided by you in any moment, yet also it is one that is managed so beautifully by your cellular awarenesses when you do not. It is without question one of the most elegant parts of the whole ever designed by the Creator, and many of you do not conceive of honouring your ability to sustain your journey in this way until you find it present by illness or other difficulties. In truth, there are many parts of your journey on the earth plane that you have not understood to be of importance. All that is needed is the willingness to be in a place of thankfulness. All that is needed is the willingness to show gratitude that you have the gift of life, of experiencing on the earth plane at this momentous time of shifting consciousness. And in that light, to find what there is in the simplest of things to enjoy, to be in wonderment of, to share this pleasure with others, that all may come to understand that life does not have to be the following of a series of lists of things to be done by when, but can be a process of flow, of harmony, of joyousness in the moment. What does this look like when you have deadlines to meet or cannot seem to structure your day other than rush from one thing to another? Even so, there are moments and there are times when you give yourself the opportunity to show love to another, to express your own delight in something beautiful or funny or wonderful around you. That brings the magic of love into your day. And when you find it within you, you give this time, this opportunity for love, for yourself, the magic truly begins to unfold before you. Begin by taking the steps to enjoy what you do, to discover what that is, and to do more and more of it until you are always in a state of love energy. For what you are doing nourishes the very heart of you, and so love is expressed from you and through you at all times. Even when you feel yourself to be having a bad day, if what you are doing is that which, for the most part, nourishes you, there is little change in the energy that is released by you as it is perceived by others around you. And when you take the trouble to shift your own energy to a more pleasing way of being, love is multiplied even more than before. It is like the little hiccup of a CD player when a small part of the data is missing. It adjusts for it and continues on without you even noticing any difference in the music playing to you. Yet, when the energy of difficulty reaches a certain level, the gap becomes visible. If the gap is a small one, it continues on until it reaches such a level that it cannot continue and becomes stuck in repeating sequence. The way you manage your own energy, your own thoughts and emotions can also be perceived in this light. You may find yourself in a bit of difficulty, and if you take a moment to request assistance in the form of a prayer, or simply asking your higher self, guides and angels to be in service to you, to assist you in adjusting your frequency to a more harmonious and enjoyable level, so it is. When your difficulty is magnified by continually returning to the same part of the energy that has you in difficulty, for example, imagining receiving an angry comment in your mind, or feeling the pain of an action taken in error that hurts another, you are creating that stumbling block even larger in your consciousness, which is your awareness. Can you in that moment allow yourself to shift track, to decide you are not going to deal with or examine this energy from that old way of doing things, and instead you're going to be in the energy of love? Of course you can. And so as you send up that prayer or request for assistance, or you take a moment to place yourself in a more relaxed process to revive the space for your higher self present to speak with you and be heard, or you simply decide that there is another way to deal with what is there before you. The energy of difficulty is there, waiting for you to pick it up and look at it differently. Now you have your awareness in a space more aligned with unity, with love. You can choose how you would deal with the difficulty before you, knowing that there is a gift within it waiting to be discovered, and that you have the key to it already within you. What after all is happiness is joyousness, if not feeling oneself in gratitude for the wonderful opportunities as part of your daily existence and beckoning you onwards, for the love that is there all around you and knowing yourself as one who can meet challenges easily, and indeed looks forward to finding some way to be of greater service to others. For when the energy of your own self is filled with love, love is all there is to see all around you. But how do we get to this place, you may ask? Practice, practice. Practice finding the beauty in all things around you, even in the times of crisis where it is a gift, the sudden space to redesign your journey. In a matter that is more pleasing to you, that nourishes and fulfills you, practice being in connection with Spirit, the Creator, your higher self, guides and angels. Each of you is a grand master experiencing life to the fullest and being in complete connection in your awareness. You have done it so many times in this and other life experiences. What is needed now is to turn your focus to knowing that you have the answers you need waiting to be put into words in your mind, perhaps, yet most assuredly there as part of your fullest consciousness. Is it not appropriate then to focus on connecting to the energy of your higher self, guides and angels, who have nothing but love to offer you, and who can, at the very least, show you what it is to be in love, until you can create this for yourself as a way of being? We assure you this is so. Like you say to us, I don't hear them, I can't perceive them. The answer is simple, my friend, to learn to do so and to accept the many communications that you do receive from outside of the veil as coming from this greater path of your life. Many of you are at least somewhat aware of the connection you have with Spirit. It is time to have it grow, to expand, become a very part of your being. Find those who can teach you to connect consciously. There are many ways to do this now, or simply try it for yourself. But all of us stand ready the instant that you show any sign wishing to be in communication with us, we promise. It is as much a simpler process than you might be thinking it is. Allow yourself to be in the heart energy of love, setting the thoughts aside and simply be in the awareness that you are able to communicate with us and we with you, and that you'd like to be in greater clarity as to what is being communicated by being able to express it in words, either spoken or written, or by receiving images, if that is something you find easy to do and so forth. Having set your intent for the form of the communication, place yourself and your intent into what is that you would like to receive information about, and allow yourself to play with what comes to you in any part of your awareness. It truly is that simple, my friends, for the gift of communication with our life, that of your higher self present, guides and angels, is very much a part of each of you already. It but remains to recognize it as such. What about love, you may be wondering? We offer that when you choose to place your awareness into your connection with these other parts of self, of your energy grouping, the love is there. When you choose to offer yourself as a vehicle for that love to be expressed to others in the form of teaching or healing in some way, love is there. And as you are guided to discover that which brings the most joyousness to your heart, love is there in abundance. Coming to the end of the message, it reads that the time of delving into the depths is over. It is time now to focus on the light, on the love, on the joyousness, delighting in the beauty around you, the strength of the love and connections you have with others. Even though you might have met them only a moment ago, or indeed have received their communication telepathically from another realm of thought focus, it matters not. As you seek to be in love, so you are. Well, that is the natural state of the universe. All else requires effort to maintain its state away from that love. It is why we say to you, release the struggle, the difficulty, the list that trouble you so. Focus on the beauty, on the love, on the light. Clarity will come to you as to what can be done to achieve your desired way of being, or to choose what you bring you the greatest of joy. And in that choice, you will regard it strongly to perceive the love that there is for yourself and thus for those around. We are joyous in the light. And then this goes to conclude by saying, we are savvier particularly Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, the Seraphim Light, and a multitude of others. We hold you always in the love, the sheer delight and joyousness of the Creator's light. So in peace, be in love, and enjoy yourselves in the love and light of what you truly are. That works out fine, because I'm coming up to what must be the last seconds of my program. So I have to close now. It's possible next week that I might have Nancy Tate on for part of the program in an interview, but I can't confirm it at the moment. But when it is confirmed, I should put the information on the website. So thank you for being with me. I hope you enjoyed the articles and messages I had for this program. I hope you'll be with me next week. May God bless you all. Thank you.
You were listening to The Peaceful Planet, synthesized from spirit through the mediumship.